Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, He Gave Me His Word on It. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed and revived by this powerful message.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. And she started deliberating in her mind, What is all of this about? What manner of salutation is this? And the angel, I guess you would probably feel the same way too. If an angel walked in your house and said, You're highly favored, the Lord is with you, and you're blessed among all women. And the Lord is with you. See, that's the key right there. The Lord is with you. Her mind began to just go back and forth, and she's trying to figure out what's up, God. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's a whole lot to think about right there in that little bit of time. Okay? She's hanging in there, but he goes on to say, And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? I haven't slept with anybody. That's what she's saying. How can this happen? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost around here. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest, he's going to overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God. I said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. See, it does us good as believers to read that and just remind ourselves of that. Because sometimes we just get busy having church and doing it over, the same thing over and over and over again. And we say we believe, but sometimes God will just have to blow up in our midst to remind us that nothing is impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated today. I just want to talk for just a few moments. If you want to title it, you can title it, He Gave Me His Word on It. He gave me his word on it. You can't trust everybody. But if God ever tells you something, he is not a man that he should lie. Neither is the son of man that he should repent. If he ever tells you he's going to do it, he will make it good. Father, help us today in this place. Speak and breathe and touch. And you have free course in this place to do whatever you want to do. Interrupt this service if you want to. You're God. And we need you. We so need you. Talk to us, Jesus. Encourage us in your word, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you touch somebody on your right and say, neighbor? He gave me his word on it. The angel came to Mary, just a young girl going through life, preparing for a wedding. The angel came to her, and he said, Lady, you're highly favored of the Lord. Well, number one, for an angel to walk into your house, it can be pretty alarming. I mean, rather have an angel than a burglar, but, you know, either one. can shake you up a little bit. The angel came to her and said, Mary, thou art highly favored, and you're going to bring forth a promised child. Her first question was, how? How this is impossible. How can this be? I know not a man. One of the things that Mary, when the angel first told her that she had a promised child to bring forth, her first question was, I don't understand how this can happen. But the thing that I've learned about Mary is that what her story has taught me is that when God tells you he's going to do something in your life, he can do it absolutely sovereignly all by himself. He doesn't need anybody to bring his promise to pass in your life. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And yet at the same time, when God begins to talk to us, sometimes because we can't see our way clear, it's one thing to get the promise, but then after you have lived with that promise for a few minutes, then you start thinking, well, I don't know how this can happen. That can't really happen for me. And so we begin to doubt, and we begin to do what Abraham called staggering. We start staggering at the promises of God. Now, initially, when God gives us a word, we get excited about it, and sometimes we want to run and tell everybody about it. But eventually, if it takes a little bit of time, and if God doesn't move as expeditiously as we thought he would do, if he doesn't do it according to our calendar, then that excitement gives way to doubt, and doubt gives way to staggering, because we stagger because we cannot figure out how in the world this is going to come to pass. Has God ever said anything to you that you got excited about, but when the excitement began to wear off, you said, I don't know how that can happen anyway? We stagger because maybe we don't have the finances in place to bring it to pass. We stagger because we say, I don't have the education. I'm not educated enough to do something like that. We stagger because we don't have the access to people that are in power that can help us bring it to pass. We stagger because we don't have flesh and blood. That's what she was saying. And because we don't have flesh and blood or somebody to lean on or somebody to make it happen, then we begin to stagger at the promises of God. Staggering is not a sign that the promise has failed. Staggering is a sign that your faith has failed. It's a sign that your faith has lost its footing, and you're beginning to waver at the things that God has said to you. And this is the thing that you need to know. If the enemy is after anything in your life, he is out to rob you of your faith. He wants your faith, because to a believer, faith is vital. I think that's what the fight has been about this week, is because the enemy wants to discredit our faith, because he understands, if I can get their faith, I can get their victory. I can get their promises. I can get everything. I can eventually get them, because faith is what they live by. They call us weak. We're not weak. We just have great faith. We're not mindless. We can think, but we have faith in somebody that thinks better and bigger thoughts than we can think. So the enemy is after, he's after our faith, and he's after our confidence, because it is our confidence that gives us the ability to stand up in the face of the enemy and say, it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why the Bible said, cast not away your confidence. Grab somebody, tell them, hold on to your confidence. Cast not away. Why? Why are you telling us not to cast away our confidence? Because the Bible says it has great recompense of reward. In other words, your confidence has value to it. So you got to hold on to your confidence, and you got to hold on to your courage. The enemy wants to wrestle away your peace, and he wants to wrestle away your hope, and he wants to wrestle the faith right out of your life. But you got to hold on to it, because of the fact that it is priceless and it is powerful, and eventually it will pay off. So you gotta hold, touch somebody, tell them, hold on to your faith. And in spite of the fact that all hell may be breaking loose in your life, you cannot lose your aggressiveness in God. He is saying to us in that scripture, in spite of what you're facing, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the battle that you have found yourself in, you got to stand and you got to believe that all things are possible to them that believe. See, that's what the fight is about. He's after your belief system. He wants to discredit every ounce of faith that you have because he understands that your victory is in your faith. So he's after your faith and he's after your confidence. He don't care about your car. He can't drive your car. He don't want your house. He don't need your money. He don't need your job. But he does want your confidence and he does want your faith. He wants to take the gleam out of your eye. He wants to take the glow out of your smile. He wants to take the passion that out of your spirit. He wants your steps to grow weary. He wants your hearing to grow dull. He wants your vision to grow dim. He wants your mind to grow numb. Numb to the point that you're moving in life, but you don't know if it's Wednesday or Saturday or Thursday or Monday or June or July or August or September. You're just numb. He wants you to lose all hope that things might really be able to change. He wants you to lose hope that things can be different. He wants you to accept defeat in your marriage, in your children, in your job, in your desires, in your dreams, in your vision. He wants you to lay down and die like a dog in the street. But the devil is a liar. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hit somebody and tell him, hold on to your faith. Because if you can hold on to your faith, there is great recompense. In other words, God is going to reward you. He's going to pay you back. He's going to compensate you. He's going to honor you. He's going to give you dividends. If you can go through hell and just keep on moving and hold on to your faith, God has got a reward out for your faith. Woo! Touch somebody. Tell them there's a reward out for your faith. Yes, there is. If God can find any amount of faith, I've been saying this for weeks, if he can find it anywhere in the building, if he can find it in the back, in the front, on the left, on the right, in the overflow, wherever God finds faith, he is going to honor that faith. So you got to hold on to it. I know you hurt sometimes and the enemy attacks you sometimes, but you got to say, you know what? I draw the line right here. You will not touch my faith. Is it possible, Pastor Brady, to really hold on to your faith? Yes, because our father Abraham, the Bible said, God had given him many great and precious promises, but he staggered not at the promises of God. To stagger means to vacillate. It means to waver. It means to be iffy about it. It means to hesitate. It means to contend, and it means to fight and wrestle and doubt with the promises of God. So Abraham vacillated not, and he wavered not, and he hesitated not, and he didn't wrestle, and he didn't fight. He doubted not. Abraham refused to doubt, and Abraham refused to dispute the promises of God, meaning that he had no self-consultations. I said that means he had no self-consultations. You got to be careful when God makes you a promise, because if you're not careful, you will talk yourself out of the promise. Don't worry about nobody else talking you out of it. If you're not careful, y'all better help me. You will talk yourself out of the promises of God. So you got to be careful not to ask yourself too many questions. When God says he's going to do something, just don't sit there and drill yourself. Well, how and when and where and why? Just do like Mary. Say, be it unto me according to thy. If you don't do it, it ain't going to be done anyway. So I'm going to trust in the Lord. Be careful that you don't reason away your faith. For the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is the opposite of God. And it will rob you of your faith every time. Touch somebody and tell them, hold on to your faith. Tell somebody else, no more staggering for you. Mary did ask the question, how can this be? And the Bible said that the Holy Ghost, which we've been talking about in this church for several weeks now, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. In other words, it ain't gonna be nothing that you do, Mary, that makes this promise come to pass. You already did your part. You were a vessel that God said, I can use her. Your part is done, girl. Just keep on being who you are and watch me jump on the stage of your life and turn your life upside down. Oh, I'm telling you today, God can do it in a New York minute. He can change everything about your life. Pastor Kimberly Ray said one email, one fax, one phone call, one whatever can change your life. Mary's life was changed forever, and she didn't have to do anything different. She just kept on being Mary. She just kept on being who she was. She kept on being pure. She kept on being a vessel that God could throw, could flow through. Touch somebody, tell her. Mary heard the promise and she believed the promise. She conceived the promise and she didn't waste any time conferring with flesh and blood. She never talked to anybody else about it. The Bible said when the angel visited her, she pondered these things in her heart. She thought them through in her own heart. Nowhere in Scripture do you see Mary going and asking anybody about the promises of God that he made her other than the angel on that day. Why? Because I believe that deep within Mary's heart, Mary understood that if man can make it happen, then man can stop it from happening. If man raises you up, man can bring you down. If man makes you, man can manipulate you. Oh, but if you wait on God, touch somebody, tell him, wait on him, wait on him, wait on him. Mary embraced the promise. She said, be it unto me, be it, be it. I love what she said. Be it, whatever it is, whatever, whatever, whatever it is, that's what I want. I want it. Whatever you have said, be it unto me. And she embraced the promise. Some of you have embraced the promise, but you got to understand that while your promise is in the incomplete stages, you still have to stand there and believe that God is able to do everything that he said he's going to do. You got to stand in the incomplete stages and say, God is a finisher. And I don't care who likes it, and I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who agrees or disagrees. I believe that God is able. Like Darwin Hobbs sang, God is able. And in the incomplete stages, watching me today, hear me, let me tell you, you are in the incomplete stages. God has told you something, and you've kind of just said, God, I don't see it coming to pass. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. God has you listening to this preacher today because he wants you to know that in the incomplete stages, you gotta hold on to the promise. The enemy will come to take it. He'll come to snatch it. He'll come to get you to abort it. He'll come and he'll try to get you to just discredit what God has said he was going to do in your life. But grab somebody and tell him, hold on to the promise. In the times of controversy, hold on to what you believe in. In the times of criticism, hold on to what you believe in. Quit trying to get people to understand it. They can't understand it. They never will understand it. We are pregnant with a promise that man had nothing to do with. How are they supposed to understand that? They are carnally minded, and the carnal mind is opposite of God. Mary held on to the promise and she refused to abort it. Grab somebody and tell them, hold on tight, hold on tight. Even if you gotta cry, hold on. If you gotta be alone, hold on. If you can't find a friend to talk about it, hold on to the Even when it hurts, you gotta hold on. Oh, pain is good. Pain is a friend. Pain is your alarm clock. If you are pregnant with something, pain is nature's way of telling you it's all getting ready to change, baby. It's all getting ready to change. So if you are feeling pain, congratulations. Shake somebody's hand and tell them congratulations is in order. Oh,
when you're in pain, every mother knows when you're in pain and you're about to birth a child, you gotta bear down. If you can bear down, it'll ease the pain. It'll ease the pain that comes in the delivery. You gotta bear down in prayer. If you have a promise that is hanging in midair, you gotta bear down, because prayer is the birth canal that takes that which is in heaven and releases it in the earth. Touch somebody, tell them, pray about it. Just pray about it. Consecrate yourself. Get in a sterile environment. Promises, babies are delivered in sterile environments. God was coming into the world and he was looking for a clean package that he could use. Grab your neighbor and ask him, can God use you? You gotta live so he can use you. So that should God just say, I want to drop a miracle in the earth, where should I drop it? He already knows where to come. Woo. People that live clean before God. God wanted to come to the earth, chose Mary, came into the earth. He was, sit down for a minute, I'll be done in 10 minutes, I'll be through. I'm not gonna preach long today, you better get with it, because we out of here in a minute. He wanted to come into the earth, and he wanted to come into the earth, and he said, Mary, I want to use you. Mary said, okay, be it unto me. Despite all of the controversy, her husband wanted to kick her to the curb. Let me tell you something, people will try to do that to you too. Hello? People will kick you to the curb, but she just held on. She just held on because she knew she didn't start this thing. I didn't start this thing. God started this thing. And if he started it, he's going to finish it. If he's Alpha, he's Omega. If he's the beginning, he'll be the end. If he's the first, he'll be the last. The God of all creation wanted to come into the earth. And upon his arrival, guess what? The God of all creation wanted to come to the earth. And upon his arrival, there was no room for him. Oh, some things never change. I said, some things never change. There was no structure for him. There was no place for him. There was no accommodations for him. Imagine that, the creator of heaven and earth, the God that made the heavens, the God that made the earth, the God that flung the stars into existence, the God that gave us two lights, the greater to rule by day, the lesser to rule by night, the God who divided the waters above the firmament from the waters beneath the firmament, the God that caused the trees to give forth fruit and the herbs to yield their seed, the God that made the dogs to bark and the pigs to oint and the cats to meow. Woo! He comes to the earth and now they ain't got nowhere for him to sleep. He came into the world and the world would not accommodate him. He came, that God, the God that created you and me, the God that created every planet, every moving thing, every breathing thing, wanted to come into the world, and the world hung out a no vacancy sign. Oh, but what I love about him and what I've learned from him is that he never let that stop him. He came on in anyway. Room or not, he said, here I come. I ain't got to have a room in the inn. The innkeeper said, I can't help you. Sorry. The property owner said, I can't give you a room, Mary. The front desk manager said, we are completely filled to capacity. They sent your Lord and my Savior out into a cold, dark night. Nobody to help him. Nobody to be there for them. Never mind that the one that was coming into the world would be the one that would make a way for all of them a little bit later. Mary was on the outside, but it was okay because she had destiny locked up on the inside. Oh, the proof to all of us. That taught me so much, because that proves to all of us that you don't need to give up on your dream, or you don't need to abort your dream just because the people that can help you don't help you. I said, don't give up just because the people that can help you don't help you. To all of you that feel left out, to all of you that feel like you've been put out in the cold, God brought me here today to tell you, man's structure never accommodates God's ideas, and he performs his greatest miracles in the most unlikely places. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but if you're hearing this preacher, it's because God wants you to understand that he gave you a promise. Doesn't matter who accommodates it. Don't you stagger at that promise. Don't worry because the system don't make room for you. Don't cry because you've been disadvantaged. Don't cry because you've been rejected. Do what God did. Mary and Jesus just stepped outside of the system. Okay, so you won't let me have this baby in here? That's okay. We'll go outside and have it, but we're going to have it one way or the other. Whether you like it or not, we're going to have it. He stepped outside of the system. He stepped over the system. He stepped around the system. Honey, if they won't hire you, build your own business and hire yourself. You are bigger than where you are. And when it comes to you, God wants to do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shake hands with three people and tell them, be different, be different, be different, be different. You can stay at the inn if you want to. You can stay in the box if you want to. You can stay in the comfort zone if you want to. But if I gotta get in an uncomfortable place to birth my promise, so be it unto me. You can't stop what God has put in me. Woo! Y'all better take a praise break right here. Somebody stick a praise right here. And that's the good thing about it. When people don't help you, you ain't got to praise them when it comes to pass. I said, you ain't got nobody to praise but Jesus, because you wasn't there for me, and you wasn't there for me, and you wasn't there for me, so I can give all the glory to my Savior. Woo! She received the promise without the help of a man. She birthed the promise without the help of a man. Sit down. Check this out. I'm done. I'm almost done. I hope you are for me. But if you ain't, I'm going to be all right anyway. Because if God be for us, he is more than the world against us. Slap somebody, tell them the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And he came to us. And he came to us. And he came to us. He came to us. And he came to us. And if he spoke it, he will make it good. And no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, God will condemn it.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message entitled, He Gave Me His Word on It, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 1-888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.